बिहारी हे जय राम भगवान जय प्रभुपरा प्रभुपरा शिव प्रभुपरा हरि 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 गौर हरि ये प्रभुपाद की जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की
हरे कृष्णा इट्स अवर ग्रेट फॉर्चून टू हैव अमंगस्ट अस हिज होलीनेस चंद्रमौली स्वामी महाराज महाराज ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन बॉर्न इन न्यू जर्सी यूएस
दैट्स ऑल यू सेड ब्रीफ दैट्स इट
ओके सो लेट अस वेलकम महाराज बाय लाउडली चैंटिंग हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल
थैंक यू आई लाइक ब्रीफ So we are about to approach the most auspicious occasion of the appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we are requested to also include that in today's lecture. And so there's one verse we chose from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's from the Arilila chapter 3. Entitled The External Reasons for Lord Chaitanya's Appearance. This is verse number 49. Suvarna Varno Amen. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Suvarna Varna Hemango Varagas Charanangati Sanyasat Krishchamam Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayanaha Suvarna Varna Hemango Varangascharanangati Sanyasat Krishchaman Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayanaha Suvarna Varna Hemango Varangascharanangati Sanyasa Krishchaman Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayaha. Ladies,
Suvarna Varna Hemango
Suvarna, of gold, Varna, having the color, Hema Anga, whose body was like molten gold, Vara Anga, having a most beautiful body, Chandana Angari, whose body was smeared with sandalwood, Sannyasa Krit, practicing the renounced order of life, Shama, equipose, Shanta, peaceful, Nishta, devotion, Shanti, of the peace, and of peace, Parayanaha, the highest resort. Translation. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Purport. This is a verse from the Mahabharata, Dana Dharma Vishnu Sarasya Nama Stotra. In his commentary on the Vishnu Saras Nam, called the Namartha Sutta, Sri Baladev Vidya Bhushana, commenting on this verse, asserts that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the evidence of the Upanishads. He explains that Suvarna Varna means a golden complexion. He also quotes the Vedic injunction, Yada Pasya Pasyati Rukmadvarnam Karantam Isham Purusham Rama Yonim. That's from the Mundaka Upanishads. Rukmavarnam Kartaram Isham refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as having the complexion, the color of molten gold. Purusham means the Supreme Lord, and Brahmayonim indicates that he is also the Supreme Brahman. This evidence too proves that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Another meaning of the description of the Lord as having a golden hue is that Lord Chaitanya's personality is as fascinating as gold is attractive. Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushana has explained that the word Varnanga means exquisitely beautiful. Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, leaving aside his householder life, to preach his mission. He was equanimity in different senses. First, he describes the confidential truth of the personality of Godhead. And second, he satisfies everyone by knowledge and attachment to Krishna. He is peaceful because he renounces all topics not related to the service of Krishna. Sri Baladev Vidya Bhushana has explained that the word nishta indicates his being rigidly fixed in the chanting of the holy name of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya subdued all the disturbing opponents of devotional service, especially the monists, who are actually adverse to the personal feature of the Supreme Lord. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Bande Ham Shiguro Shiyuta Padakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganad Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijanam Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Tu Jagatpate Gopi Shah Gopika Kanta తప్త కంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృకవాను సుతి దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ వంశకల్పతృభ్య కృపా సింధుభ్యేభ్య పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసరి గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జై. So this verse is very important and very significant because it establishes Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both by his characteristics, physical characteristics, his qualities and activities. So everything is there in his nature, his bodily color, his position, his activities, and of course his activities and his mission. So it's very hard for people in general to understand Lord Chaitanya. In fact, it's not possible unless they take exactly the evidence from the scriptures. Because Lord Chaitanya, although is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna himself, it's confirmed here in the Upanishads. The Upanishads are the Vedas. They're called the Shruti part of the Vedas. The Vedas are divided into Shruti and Smriti. Shruti is the actual Vedas themselves, which make up the four Vedas, the Upanishads. And the Smriti are the commentaries on the Vedas, which give an understanding of the meaning of the Shruti, because the Shruti is so difficult. General mass of people, not even great personalities, have a difficult time understanding Shruti. And to study Shruti, it takes you a whole lifetime. So the Smritis are there to give us an understanding of the actual essence of the meaning of the Vedas. But the Vedas, actually, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischaham eva Veda Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vid eva Chaham. That everything about the Vedas is concluded by knowing me. When you know me, you know the Vedas. If you don't know me, you don't know the Vedas. You can study the Vedas, but the Vedic conclusion is that one has to know Krishna. So in the Vedas, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is pretty much chana. It's hidden. It's not very easily understood, even by people who study the Vedas. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is a great mystery. And he presents himself in the sense that he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he were to confirm himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it would be more easily for people to accept and to understand, but he doesn't. There's only one incident in his whole pastimes that is very clearly him in that role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's in the house of Srivas when he performed the Mahaprakash Leela for 21 hours, presenting himself as he is and giving ultimate benedictions and mercy for everyone profusely and unlimitedly, continuously for 21 hours. But that was a very intimate pastime. There was no outsiders there. And they were all the intimate, not only intimate, but all the devotees of the Lord who were surrounding Lord Chaitanya at that time. But during his time, when he performed his pastimes, when someone refers to him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes he would become angry. And other times he would show his dissatisfaction by blocking his ears. He wouldn't want to hear that. And so, why did he do that? Because during that time, and even now today, people who are very proficient in performing spiritual activities sometimes go off in the wrong direction. And what is that wrong direction? They think they're an incarnation of God. Well, Prabhupada mentions this. He says, the last catch, he calls the word snare, of Maya is one has become so advanced in spiritual life, they think, now I understood who I am. I'm an incarnation, yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious to me, and others will gradually understand that obvious nature, sooner or later. So, and there, of course, and then we also have a whole series of spiritualists who profess that every living entity is the Supreme Lord, and simply covered over by the material energy, that awareness of one's real position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is somewhat hidden. But that hiddenness is not a covering, it's simply a leela. So you're all performing leelas right now, thinking you're something else, but when you get out of your leela and into your actual eternal leela, then you realize you're God. Okay? Got it? But Prabhupada said anyone who said he's God, G-O-D is D-O-G. Dog. And dogs are not so popular, especially in India. People don't really worship a dog. There was one newspaper article. It was in India. One person married a dog. Did you see that? It was on the Indian news. It was in, I think it was Times of India. It was a person, I think he was really feeling sorry for the dog. He fell in love with the dog. And there was a marriage, official. I don't know if he spent crores of rupees on his marriage, but it was definitely a marriage. So yeah, people have somewhat of an attachment to the lower species of life and forgetting who the real worshipable object is, and that is God, of course. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood very carefully that this pretense is very strong, all-pervading. So in order to destroy that, and he, you know, rejected the idea of God. But then again, his devotees, many of them, they understood his position. But we can only understand it by the Shastras and from the great Acharyas. So here it's mentioned some of the characteristics which he exhibited. Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishna Sangopanga Saparshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. Krishna Varnam, that he is Tvasa Krishna. He is not Krishna, but he is Akrishna. He's not blackish. Krishna is known as, he has a transcendental color that is like a monsoon cloud. And he's described and glorified many times for his beautiful color, as being a blackest blue monsoon cloud, as ways we can somehow use an analogy in this world to get a little clearer understanding of the nature of the color of the Supreme Lord. Of course, analogies always fall short of reality, especially spiritual reality. But just to give an indication that Krishna's color is black, blackish, not black, but blackish. So one time one devotee one black body devotee in our movement said, Prabhupada, Krishna's black. Prabhupada said, yes, but not like you. So he was trying to get some points, but he got a minus instead. So yeah, so it's not the colors of this world or any kind of comparison to what our bodily features may look like. It's completely transcendental. So therefore one cannot imagine or even describe in the imagination what is the transcendental nature of the bodily color of the Lord. It's an experience. But the Shastras give us a little understanding. So therefore in terms of giving the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Lord, but he is not black. Mm-hmm. He is not blackish. Mm-hmm. He is, what is the color here? Suvarna, gold. or not only Suvarna, but molten gold, that gold which is brilliantly colored like that. So we can imagine, this is Hema Anga, whose body was like molten gold, so beautiful. It's interesting, Prabhupada uses the statement that people are attracted to gold. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya manifested a very attractive color. So one of his names is Gaurasundar, because he was so attractive and so beautiful. Gauda and Sundar. Sundar means not only beautiful, but the best of all beauty. And Gaura means golden also. So his golden complexion was actually his internal expression of his nature. It's interesting. When Lord Krishna said to Radharani, I'm going into this next incarnation and I'll be taking your color. And she became a little, she became a little frightened. She said, oh. No, he said, no, I'm sorry. He said, I'll be taking your nature. He said, I'll take your nature. That, in other words, I'll exhibit your love for me in the form of me being in that mood of your devotion. And she said, oh no, you'll die. Because you won't be able to live. The ecstasy will be too much. So you'll be falling on the ground and you'll probably, you know, destroy your physical body. So she said, I'll give you my color, which will protect you. You know. So little Radharani gave the color to Krishna as a feature of protection, but also as a feature of beauty. So she's called Gaurangi and Lord Chaitanya is called Gauranga. So it's beautiful. And he attracted people to him because simply by seeing him. Even though they never heard from him or just never encountered personal, they could see him from a distance immediately. And they said, oh, he is so beautiful. So he actually converted people to Krishna consciousness simply by his bodily beauty. So here it's mentioned here. And here it also mentions some of his other characteristics and qualities. Mostly he says he enters into household life and then he gives up household life. So to preach his mission like that, Lord Chaitanya was saying that if for preaching, one can preach in any ashram, of course. Krihe Thako Bone Thako Sabdahari Boli Thako. And Prabhupada said, I have created an army of Grihasthas to preach the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age. Because people don't listen to sannyasis, they listen to Grihasthas. Really? Why? Because Grihasthas are like us, and sannyasis don't. They're living in illusion. They don't know what it's like to be us. I used to go to preach in colleges, and in the colleges, you know, I would give a lecture. And the students in the college, this is mostly in the Western countries, mostly America. And I could always see, and I would also get questions that, you know, what you're saying is nice, but it's not relevant to us. But then, when our devotees would come, sometimes our devotees would come as a couple, a husband and wife, and they would preach in the college. They would get much more, what we say, response from the students. Because, you know, they're like us. And so we can do the same thing because, you know, this is our lifestyle. So that's simply from the Western, what we say, mentality. People have that. They can't identify with renunciation. But here in India, of course, India is losing that culture also gradually to the Western, what we say, ways of material enjoyment. And so now, I used to go to airports and, you know, I would go there and people would say, oh, Maharaj, so many nice things, you know. It's not like we want it, but now you just treat it as an ordinary customer. You know, India's changed now. At least in the business realm, when you're dealing in that area. But it used to be like that where, you know, you would go and that mood of worshipping or not worshipping, but honoring the sannyas order was very strong. It's being lost now. And once the spiritual culture in India is lost, then everything is lost. It's gradually becoming lost because of thinking that, you know, that really relegates one to a lesser position and one is missing out in life. But that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, to bring back the revolution of spirituality all over the world. And when Prabhupada went to America, he wanted to really make India Krishna conscious again. He could see gradually everything was moving towards, you know, materialism. And so when he went to the West, one of the first things he did was bring back his Western disciples to America, to India, just to show the Indian population that, you know, these persons had everything that you had, and they gave it up. They had nice families, rich. Many of them came from very rich families. I wasn't one of them. But many of them came from, some of my, you know, god brothers were, you know, quite well-to-do materially, also very intelligent and high achievers in the Western circles, had everything. And then, but when they met Prabhupada, it was a whole different lifestyle now. So when Prabhupada wanted to show the Indian population that, hey, this is your culture, don't give it up. These boys and girls, they have everything you're chasing after. So Prabhupada wanted that. And it was effective to some degree. But the essence is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy here. Because he was Krishna conscious in the household life, and he was Krishna conscious as a... It's not that he acted in household life like an ordinary householder. He followed all the principles of devotion even while he was in the household life. He was very, very, what we say, dutiful as a householder, and at the same time worshipping constantly the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his mood of a pure devotee of the Lord. So he wanted to teach, whatever ashram you're in, you can become fully Krishna conscious. But eventually he took sannyas, of course. And it says here he left everything out aside because he knew there was a class of people he could not reach from that ashram. And what was that class of people? The Mayavadis. He converted Prakasananda Saraswati in Benares, and along with his 60,000 Mayavadis, all to Vaishnavas, simply by his humility and by his beautiful bodily complexion. Those two things were the foundation. Of course, they listened to what he had said, but they were attracted to hear from him simply because of these other qualities. So Mahaprabhu, and then he asked Lord Nityananda, you get married. Lord Nityananda was avidut. He had no inclination for married life, but Lord Chaitanya knew that he needed Nityananda to spread Krishna consciousness in Navadvip and in other places around Navadvip, especially to the Grihastha community. So being in that ashram is also an advantage to preaching like that. And for the Maya bodies, impersonalists, Lord Chaitanya was like, he wasn't compromising. Krishna, what is that verse? Krishna. Krishna aparadhi. Mayavadi, Krishna aparadhi. Yeah. The Mayavadis are offenders to Krishna. Why? Because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aruna kirchena padam padam padantiyatana tasma yusra ahangrayaha. That one who actually moves high on the spiritual platform, but doesn't take to the process of devotional service, padantiyada, they fall down. The Mayavadis are the impersonalists, those who don't accept the personality of Godhead as the absolute principle of the absolute truth, who consider the personality of Godhead simply a manifestation of the material aspect of the Lord who comes in that form and takes on the material body. But Lord Chaitanya Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, avajanti mam mudha manushim tanamasvatam param bhava jnanatam mama bhuta maheshwara. And therefore, Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, adopted his prana mantra, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastyatyade Satarine. When Prabhupada was in Japan in 1970, when the earlier part of the movement, there was a lot of difficulty in understanding Prabhupada's mission. And so many deviations started to manifest within our society. And one of the deviations was that the devotees, some senior devotees, were actually saying that Srila Prabhupada is actually Vishnu. He is actually the Supreme Lord, but he is not saying that, but we actually know that. So there was four sannyasis, I won't mention the names, who, should I mention the names? Yeah, I can mention the names, I don't know, but I'll mention the names later. Four sannyasis who were preaching, especially in New Vrindavan, that Prabhupada was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was not saying that because of his natural humility. But we know that. So therefore we should understand that and worship him in that mood. Now, they were preaching to other devotees, and this caused a big division within the society. Now, Prabhupada wasn't in America during that time. He was in the South Pacific, and he was preaching in Japan. When Prabhupada heard about that, he immediately sent a letter back and said, tell these four sannyasis they have to leave our society and go out and preach on their own. They can't stay in any of our temples or any of our facilities. So they did that. And then Prabhupada added his prana mantra, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pastyate Satarine, to teach that he was actually, a servant of Saraswati Devi. He came to the Western world to preach the mission of Lord Chaitanya and to remove the illusion or the false understanding of that the living entity is God, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, to destroy these impersonalism and Buddhism. Sunyavadi means zero. And so, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Therefore, Prabhupada said one of the greatest preaching you can do is to teach people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that their eternal happiness and their position for success in life is to worship the Lord as the Personality of Godhead. Sometimes people walk into our temple and they see the deities and they think the deity is a representative of the Lord. This is also wrong. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains very carefully, both in the nature of the deity and the nature of the holy name, that both of these manifestations of the Lord are seen as absolute principles and not relative principles. The materialists think that the holy name, KRSNA, is simply five letters put together. And many of the spiritualists who haven't realized the highest understanding or don't accept the higher understanding think that the deity is simply a representative of God, so we can worship the Lord in that form. But the devotees, those who are real actual Vaishnava, the conclusion of all Arche Vishnu Siddha Di Guru Shum Namrachi Vaishnava Jati Bhuti, is that the deity is not anything made of material. Although he appears within the material elements, he is transcendental, and he is non-different than the absolute principle of worship. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna also many times manifested that self, that identity, by speaking with his devotees, by eating the food on the plate, and by walking. When he was Sakshi Gopal, he walked all the way from Vrindavan. So, and then we see in many of the instances the deity actually goes beyond simply manifesting himself in his deity form, but takes up the activities of people in general, just to show that there's no difference. But these are special cases. I remember where I was in Chicago back in 1996. Jai Sisi Radhavadavan Chandra Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Sisi Gornitai Kija. I remember I was in Chicago back in 1996, and all around the world during the Chaturmasi, maybe some of you remember, we were offering milk on the altar, and the deities were drinking the milk. There were many places in India and in the West, the milk was actually being drunk. The cup was empty. And so, I remember sitting in the office one day, and one man, an Indian man, congregational person, he came in, he was like really excited. Oh, Bhagavan, he's drinking, miracle, he was getting all excited. And I said, he does it every day. But this time he's not so merciful. He's not leaving you any. So, I don't know if he got it or not, but we tried. So sometimes the Lord will do that. For whatever reason, the Lord is independent. He does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and it's always perfect. So sometimes when something like that happens, it just wakes the mundane spiritualists, those who have some understanding of spirituality, but still see it in a material way. So, yeah, but the deity is Krishna himself, non-different like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to somehow or other get everyone to worship Krishna. That's the whole mission. And because he is Krishna himself, he's not simply an incarnation of Krishna. He's seen as an incarnation, mentioned as an incarnation, but he is avatar-e. That means he is the source of all manifestations of the Godhead. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. Radha and Krishna have become one in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Absolute Truth has divided into two aspects of itself in order to perform eternal loving pastimes. So Lord Chaitanya is eternal and Radha and Krishna are eternal. So which one's more eternal? So sometimes people can't understand this principle because it's not understandable by the mind. Only when one becomes fully realized in in God consciousness, does Krishna reveal those things that are beyond the range of the senses and mind. So the nature of the absolute truth is comes by revelation by one power of one's pure bhakti. But we can accept it that Radha and Krishna are one, and now they have become they're two, but they have become one in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the absolute truth is one in many at the same time. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. One and many. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we worship him by, there's no better way than worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than by doing two things, by serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada, by preaching Krishna consciousness, and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Satatam kirtayantum mam, that is the yatantastas yata vitaha, yatastat vitaha, nitya yukta upasyate. Someone asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't mention chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, what do you mean? Satatam kirtayantum mam, right there, 7:14, right? So yeah, Prabhupada pointed out that verse. It does, right there. Not only chant, but don't stop. Kirtan, satatam, always chant Hare Krishna. Someone said, this was just brought up to me a few days ago, but I remember this from previous experiences, that someone said, Srila Prabhupada, he doesn't chant Hare Krishna. Because, you know, people never used to see Prabhupada chanting. So one time, you know, it came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, come, put your ear on my back. And he did. He could hear the holy name. It's going on inside, constantly. So Prabhupada was always in the mood of chanting Hare Krishna. And you know, his lectures are full of that. We should chant Hare Krishna, but we should chant as much as possible. He said 16 rounds. This is just to get you started. Actually, this is the process. Because why? Maya is so strong in this age. Maya is very strong. So as soon as you forget Krishna for a second, you're in trouble. Maya is really, really powerful. But if you're remembering Krishna, the Maya cannot affect the devotee even in the slightest bit. Prabhupada said, Maya remains behind Krishna, but we have to remember Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya gave us the process and Prabhupada gave us the understanding. Just chant. Just chant as much as you can. He said, when you're actually chanting Hare Krishna, he said, you'll say 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? That's a statement by Prabhupada. And throughout his, I've been doing a little research with Prabhupada's books and his lectures also, and I find he said chant 24 hours a day so many times. So many times, hundreds of times, like that. So we might say, well, and then Prabhupada also said, but you can't remember somebody constantly unless you actually have love for him. So it seems like there's an apparent, you know, gap there. Chant always, but you can't chant always unless you have pure love. But we do have attraction for Krishna. We all have some attachment. So build that attraction even more by chanting the holy names. And as when the holy name becomes more, then, because Krishna's holy name is not just his name, it's actually his qualities, his pastimes, his entourage, everything is there, his forms. Everything is there in the holy name of Krishna. So as we chant, Krishna helps us to understand him, his nature in his other qualities. We can understand deeper his pastimes and become more attracted to his devotees. We become, the holy name is like a magnet. It's like a reservoir of unlimited qualities and mercy that brings our attention and intelligence towards all aspects of the Absolute Truth. Everything starts with, develops, and actually culminates in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. So we always have time for chanting, right? No problem, right? We always have time. It's, sometimes, you know, people say, I don't have any time. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, those who say, I have too many things to do, I'm working, I have so much service to do, I don't have enough time for chanting, I don't have enough time for reading. You know what his conclusion is? He makes the statement, it's a rhetorical statement, and then he says, they never get the mercy of this, of the spiritual master. Because the mercy of the spiritual master comes with everything but hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Here's where the mercy flows. Because that's the essence of our chaito dharpana margin and purifying the heart. And then he ends that same statement. He says, that statement that I don't have time to chant or read, he says, that is like a bad smell coming from the body. Pretty heavy statement. So he doesn't mince words when it comes to people who have, they give excuses, I have so many other things to do, I have no time to chant, I have no time to read. So, but time is Krishna. Time is Krishna. So when we make time, Krishna gives us more time. Right? If you make time for chanting, you'll find you'll have that time, and then you'll have more time. Anything you do, if you emphasize that, you'll find Krishna gives you more and more facilities and the intelligence to expand it. So if we practice chanting more and more, we can come to the stage of chanting always. And that's, Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that. We have a numerical value to our chanting. We say we have to chant 16 rounds. But Prabhupada, when he first started the movement, what was his statement? Chant 64 rounds every day. The devotees in the West, they couldn't handle it. They said, Prabhupada, we can't do that. We got so many things to do. We don't have time for chanting 64 rounds. Prabhupada said, all right, 32. And then that was, they were complaining again. And the Prabhupada said, 16 and no less. So the original statement was 64 rounds. Of course, we have our services, and we want to do that also. So, but it should be a nice balance between service and chanting. We should be enthusiastic for both, but especially because of chanting, because chanting is the Yuga Dharma. It's the means for self-realization in this age. So we want to take advantage. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if you chant numerically every day, you'll come to the platform of chanting always. Mm-hmm. Numerical vows allow one to come to the platform of satatam kirtan. So sometimes people want to chant. I hear that. I like to chant, but I just chant when I feel like. Sometimes I chant 16 rounds. Sometimes I chant 2, sometimes I chant 8, sometimes I chant 25. You know, but that's not the idea is make a numerical vow and then build on that vow more and more. Okay. That's the recommended way to increase one's chanting more and more. Okay, so we're coming to the end of the time period. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Prabhu. Mm-hmm. I wasn't prepared for this class, so I'm sorry if it wasn't so continuous.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for telling about that. Krishna is less merciful today by drinking the milk. You know, every day he is taking so many times. It's very inspiring to hear
that. You like him more merciful or less merciful? Which one do you like better? More merciful?
More.
Okay. That's the one he generally comes in.
So my question is about just now what you said, Maharaj, about how the holy name contains all the other ingredients.
Yeah.
In terms of roop, gun and leela.
Nija sarva shaktis. Nam namakardi bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Nija sarva shaktis means everything of the absolute truth is contained within the name of Krishna.
So that is there. It is there in the name. All other things kind of implicitly.
Complete.
Because in my stage of impurity and realization, it's very difficult to understand that fully. Whereas we see Leela, Leela has explicitly the Rupa, the Gunas and the name. So many names of Lord when we hear the Leela.
Yeah.
Where these things are explicitly present and can be kind of, just now you told some pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So there we could hear. So is it true that these all four aspects, name to actually understand this, that it is non-different than Krishna and it contains all these things, is quite difficult than, you know, approaching Leela, which is very, very easier for us to approach and understand. To focus, as you said, that, you know, we cannot call someone's name throughout our day if we have no love for that person.
Krishna reveals himself through the name in the different aspects of himself. It's like Prabhupada, sometimes people would say to Prabhupada, should I think of the form of Krishna in my mind while I'm chanting? Does anybody have a database with you where you can go to one verse in the Bhagavatam? Okay, database. Go to 4th canto, 8th chapter, verse 53 purport, last paragraph. 4, 8, 53, the last paragraph. This will help answer your question also. So, you want to read the last paragraph? Slowly.
Another point established in this verse is that meditation should be carried on with the chanting of a mantra. Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest process of meditation in this age. As soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the forms of Krishna, Rama and their energies. And that is the perfect stage of trance. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna. But when the chanting is performed offenselessly, the Lord will automatically reveal himself to the view of the chanter. The chanter therefore has to concentrate on hearing this vibration. Without extra endeavor on his part, the Lord will automatically appear.
So, from Naam comes Roop, from Roop comes Guna, from Guna comes Leela. So we can go right to Leela, but how much do we realize? We can do that, and we should do that, but the realization comes as Krishna, as one purifies themselves through the chanting of the holy name. So you can actually, Rupa Goswami and the great souls, they were actually in the Leelas, seeing the Leelas. We're just reading the Leelas, and that's nice, and we should do that. It's purifying. It's also very satisfying to hear. But actually, to realize Krishna is non-different than his Leela comes as a stage of perfection, not automatic. Same with his quality, same with his forms. That's why Prabhupada uses the example that when you're actually offenselessly chanting, Krishna's name will appear within your mind. Krishna's form will appear within your mind. So it's a progressive thing. Okay, any other questions? Comments? Yes.
Maharaj, you were saying about Indian people, they are following Western culture and all of that. But in...
I'm not saying it, it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's the major, you know, show right now.
In Kali Yuga, it's like prone to happen. So, in like...
There's in nothing Kali... wrong with material opulence. But giving up material opulence, giving up spirituality in the name of gaining sense gratification and material opulence, there's the problem.
In Kali...
Yeah, you can live nicely and have nice everything, but become Krishna conscious. That's the whole thing. But people are rejecting the spiritual fabric of society because they think it interferes with their progress. Or they take the spiritual thing as just something extra on the side, that we can do that because that helps us become better materially.
In Kali Yuga, it's prone to happen, like even the verse Prayana Alpayusha, it says that how you are prone to, you know, be ignorant and you know, you are misdirected.
And that's prone
that.
To happen, but Lord Chaitanya's movement is also prone to happen.
So how do you...
Depends which prone you're on, that side or this side. So you want to emphasize the spiritual side, because in this age, there's a story in the Vedas. I can't remember, it's a long pastime, but Kali Yuga is the best age for spirituality. That's the conclusion of the pastime. Vyasadeva revealed that. You know that story with Vyasadeva in the mountains when those two persons came? What is the best age? Is it Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga? It's a very interesting pastime. But ultimately, Vyasadeva revealed that Kali Yuga is the best for spirituality because of Mahaprabhu, because of the chanting of the holy names, because of the mercy manifestations. Yeah. So yeah, Kali Yuga is prone to happen. You know, it will happen, but Lord Chaitanya's mission is also predicted. I mean, that's also prone to happen. So side by side. So how many people will go one way? How many people will go the other way? You know, that's the whole thing. We want everyone to go towards Lord Chaitanya. Kali Yuga Pavana, Kali Boyanasana, Sri Sachi Nandana Namrai. Kali Boyanasana, he destroys Kali. Ruff! Kali's a... The dog just runs away. Takes the stick of the holy name. Go, Kali! Get out! Get out! Oh, 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 oh. So Kali doesn't have a chance with Lord Chaitanya. No chance. Lord Chaitanya's mission is strong. If we stay chaste to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, then it becomes... And Kali is nowhere. He's just like a puppy dog with broken legs. Of course, we don't... You know, in other words, he's useless. But... Kali Yuga is as strong as we are weak. The stronger, the weaker you are, the stronger Kali is. And for devotees who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, they don't even recognize Kali Yuga. He's not even around. So it depends. But for others, they're worshipping. Om Namo Kali. Give me... aham, what is it? Dhanam dehi, janam dehi, rupam dehi. What other dehis are there? Some other dehis? I must have forget. Yaso dehi. Oh, yaso dehi. Fame. Give me fame, give me money, give me this. Lord Chaitanya says, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundaram, Kavitam Bhajagadisha Kamaya. He says, these things are insignificant. They're just, you know, just like dog biscuits. You want prasad, not dog biscuits. You like dog biscuits? No, okay. Dogs do, but not humans. Okay. Any other questions? Oh, okay. This side? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. Maharaj, you are explaining how Lord Chaitanya has set an exemplary example of how a devotee should be in his life. As a grihastha, he was ideal, you were mentioning that. I wanted to ask you a question that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas at 24 age, while his mother was old and wife was also young. From the external point of view, it seems not so. It's not justice. Or
yeah, very. He was a little unkind.
Yes. So, yes, Maharaj. Means for grihastha, how it's.
Well, what like, is your? How we should. What is your age now?
23, Maharaj.
Huh? I'm not going to say anything else. You can ask your wife and your mother if you can do it. He's not married. Anyway.
Well, oh, that's what lesson.
That's even easier now. No, no problem. Everyone has to take sannyas anyway. Either you take it when you're young or you take it when you're old. Everyone has to take it someday. Because the whole idea is to come to what we say, complete vairagya. To renounce everything material and absorb oneself. So some people go through, they do it by going through the different, you know, ashrams. But then ultimately, we have to renounce. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to set the example. That, and he wanted to show the importance of the renounced order of life and how effective it is for renunciation and for preaching. Like that. And but there's other reasons. There's the internal reasons why he did that. And that goes back to Vrindavan Leela. When Radharani and the Rasa dance. But that's a whole other pastime. I don't know all the details of that, but that's the internal reason. The external reasons was to benefit the human society. Therefore, sannyas means you have nothing of your own. Your life is for the benefit of others. That's what sannyas means. So if you stay in grihastha life, then you are limiting that benefit. But sannyas means expanding that benefit. That's the only difference. Are you wanting to take sannyas? You look like you could do it. Really, I'm serious. I mean, you have seem like you have that quality. It's a good start. You can do like, remember what Sankaracharya did. Sankaracharya, he was, you know, Lord Shiva, but he came in the form of Sankaracharya. When he wanted to take sannyas, but he was young, and he asked permission from his family. They wouldn't give his mother, his father was no longer there. He didn't actually have a father. So his mother wouldn't give him. So he was in the river, and he was swimming. And one animal, crocodile, came and grabbed him. And he called out to his mother who was on the shore, "Mother, mother, I'm dying. Please give me sannyas. Please give me permission to take sannyas." She said, "Yes, yes, of course." And then at that time, the crocodile swam away. Well, that's a nice pastime. So yeah, we all have to renounce everything in this material world anyway. Materialists have to renounce it, but they don't voluntarily renounce it. Death takes it all away from them. Nothing belongs to anyone. Everything belongs to Krishna. So whatever Krishna gives you, you use it in Krishna's service. You do it in grihastha life, you do it in agrastha ashram, you do it in brahmachari. But sannyas allows you to focus fully on preaching. It gives you that complete absorption in that direction. That is, the ashram is meant for that. So you don't have to divide your time amongst other responsibilities. That's where the benefit is there. But Prabhupada said that if you're renounced in grihastha ashram, then you're just as good as a sannyasi. In terms of your spiritual practice, we're not talking about one's spiritual practice, we're talking about the mood of preaching. So that's where it gives you an advantage. You can spend more time. But then again, we see so many grihasthas who have made their whole griha preaching. So if you can do that, then there's no need to take sannyas. Mm-hmm. There's no need, because then you're doing the same thing, and that's the important thing. Because Prabhupada said, "I want every one of my disciples to become preachers." And when he meant disciples, he meant everyone in ISKCON. Because he said the world is in need of people to preach Krishna consciousness. That's the greatest need. So, in any ashram you can do it, but somehow or other we have to come to that stage of seeing that our advancement, as Prabhupada says, there's two kinds of devotees. One who is only concerned about their own advancement, and those others who are concerned about the advancement of others. So he said, be the second one. Be the second one. So as you make progress, then you start thinking, how can I give this to others? How can I be part of some type of preaching movement to give Krishna consciousness to others like that? So, thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Okay. There was a question over here. Yeah.
Maharaj, in this sloka, the Santi Parayana means Lord Chaitanya takes pleasure in defeating the impersonalists. Actually in Adilila, fourth chapter, Prabhupada says that Mayavadis cannot understand the rasa between Lord and his devotees.
Right.
Mayavadi. Actually, when I was reading this fourth chapter, which says that the internal reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared, mm-hmm. there two verses are there. Verse number 56 says that Radha and Krishna separated eternally to enjoy the rasa. Then the next sloka, it is told that they again became one in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enjoy the rasa. So, want to understand how it is not Mayavad, where, they enjoy rasa in one body. Radha and Krishna become one and enjoy the rasa in the same body. Because Prabhupada says that Mayavadis, they cannot understand that there are two persons needed for enjoying the rasa. So they compromise for a lesser pleasure, of just being established in Brahman conception.
Yeah, but within the absolute truth, everything is contained. So Lord Chaitanya is the absolute truth. But you can't do that. Because we are jiva, and we have to connect with Krishna, or we have to connect with the Godhead. So He is already the Godhead, and everything is contained within Him. So actually, Radharani is actually a manifestation of His internal pleasure potency energy. Yeah. So they separate simply for external pastimes, but that union is always there, even in the one. But for the conditioned souls, we need another individual. We have to have, in order to exchange love or relationships, rasa. So, yeah, well, that's unique to the absolute truth. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, we are very grateful to Maharaj. So nicely he told about Shruti, Smriti, God, dog, the reason for Prabhupada Pranati Mantra, and one of the very nice things he told that touched my heart in particular when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in connection with Prabhupada saying, chant unlimitedly, satatam and all that. And Bhaktivedanta Thakur's statement, those who say that we don't have time for chanting because so many other things are there, and we don't have time for reading, then he said that they don't have the mercy of the spiritual master, and also it is that thing like, is like this bad smell from the body, quite heavy. So it was very nice, and such a nice question answer, and reason for sannyas, and how balanced approach is appeal for sannyas, and also one could be a grahastha, and if he is fulfilling the criterion that Prabhupada expected of all his followers, that they be preachers, then that external sannyas may not be required. So we are very grateful to Maharaj for so nicely giving us Krishna consciousness. So let us thank him by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So Maharaj for years has been serving in prison ministry. In fact, he is heading it for several decades in America and all over the world. He is the head of that prison ministry, and he has written a very nice book, Forbidden Voices. This book, I'll just read the backside part. He says, in this book we are presenting testimony for those souls who are known as prisoners of the state, with the intention to show that despite being locked away from society, they are understanding and experiencing the happiness that comes from their connection with God. The depth of a man's conviction in worshipping God is the worth of that person's existence. In Forbidden Voices, we hear the crying and calling of those persons who are sincerely striving to find the mercy that lifts their consciousness towards the divine. This is a battle many souls endure. Success is guaranteed because Krishna is the best in all categories, and His mercy is His foremost quality for His devotees. So it's a very wonderful book. We have only 4 copies of this book left. They are here available. So those who wish, immediately, first come, first services, you can have it. Okay, and also we have, the cost of this book is 200 rupees only. And here we have only 4 copies. So those who wish could take it from them. And Maharaj will personally give from his hand. Also, we have this Vaishnava training and education certificates. This is a teacher's training course part 1. So several devotees had participated, and we are giving out the certificates through the lotus hands of His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. I'll read out the names and request the devotees to come forward and take it from the Maharaj's hands. First is Sarvagrahi Kesho Prabhu. Then Shyam Jagannath Prabhu. Srinivas Prasad Prabhu.
Let's do the certificates first. Savagrahi. Whoa.
Rio. Shyam Jagannath Prabhu. Srinivas Prasad Prabhu. Vishakha Krupa Devi Mataji. Sanatan Goswami Prabhu. Sanatan Goswami Prabhu. Shankaranand Prabhu. Shri Muralidhar Prabhu. Shripad Seva Prabhu. Vamshi Krishna Prabhu. Vamshi Krishna Prabhu. Anupam Gopika Mataji. Deenmani Prabhu. Dinamani Prabhu. Narad Muni Prabhu. Raghav Kripa Prabhu. Abhay Murari Prabhu. Balram Dulal Prabhu. Krishna Seva Prabhu and Prashant Gaur Prabhu. So let us congratulate all the devotees by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So as Maharaj told at the end, Prabhupada wants all followers to be preachers, so there are teachers qualified to preach. They can go all over the place. Hare Krishna.